Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
DeBrusque. Oh, he punished Marlowe.
Oh, Kadri just cross-checked DeBrusque in the head in retaliation for a clean hit.
And now Chara wants a piece of Kadri.
Kadri's going to do it again. He's going to get himself suspended again. This is a wicked, wicked cross-check in retaliation for not only the DeBrusque hit, but also what the DeBrusque hit earlier in the game on Kadri. He looked like he came right up into the grill of DeBrusque with this cross-check. He's getting tossed, as he should.
Right, there was our play-by-play of it. You'll hear it again tonight. Beers and Ghosh with the call starting at 7 o'clock here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Kadri on... I'm sorry, are you saying this over the air or in my ear? I can't even tell.
I said in your ear. You said Ghosh, not Surratt.
I said Ghosh. My fault. I'm sorry.
Force a habit.
Yes, Judd Surratt and Bob Beers with the call. Tonight at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports. I'm sorry about that. We'll see what the Kadri suspension is today when that comes out from Toronto. We'll get your reaction to that play, that game. I thought it was just terrific turnaround and statement by the Bruins. And is the door ajar? Tampa, which we all thought was something of an all-time kind of team, set an NHL record for wins, for crying out loud, is down 3-0 to Columbus on the other side, and you get that winner. Now, Columbus is tough. I'm not telling you they're any walkover. I'm just telling you, you're getting an 8 seed that qualified for the playoffs on the second to last day of the year versus what was looking like one of the all-time teams in league history. So
what a bunch of gutless pukes.
I mean, that'll be one of the great collapses in NHL history.
Unbelievable. Never mind maybe losing a series. They're on the verge of getting swept.
The games aren't that close.
That comp that I sent in the email chain this morning when the reigning champion Red Wings got swept by the Mighty Ducks in 03, is that the only comp? Is that a decent enough comp? Because I'm trying to think of one.
Yeah, it's. I mean, they all sort of blend together. I just know it happens from time to time. Eights will beat a one. When the LA Kings won their first cup, they were an 8 seed.
Right.
So, I mean, it happens. I can't remember what teams, what year. Did the Wings get swept that year?
Yeah.
Were they the President's Trophy?
No, they were the 2 in the West that year.
Okay, so that's different. I mean, these guys weren't just the President's Trophy winner. They had the best record in hockey in like a decade or something.
Yeah, they had scored more goals than any team in 23 years, and their goal differential is the highest in 13.
And they go up 3-0 in game one, and since then, they're down 3 games to nothing.
Since that time, they've been outscored 12-2.
So that's what's facing you. If you can keep that edge, take advantage of this Kadri suspension, that's what you're facing. It leads us to the Rodenheiser take here at 3 o'clock.
Yep, last week's hot take brought to you by Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric, serving Metro S for over 90 years and proud sponsor of the Patriots. You mentioned DeBrusque earlier. I mean, he's become a guy that you can rely on at this time of year. Remember last year, 7 points in 7 games against the Leafs. Now, he hasn't scored in this series. He's been a factor every single time he's been on the ice.
A little snake bit. He should have 2 or 3.
I mean, the one early in the last game, he got a great chance.
But that's not, I'm with you. DeBrusque, to me, first star. Number one star right now because of the balls. The kid's got something. And it's an intangible you need in that sport. He could have sat out game 2. Never mind, go back into the lineup and then basically attack someone who's 8 years his senior, a 10-year NHL veteran. And when I say attack, I mean go toe-to-toe with the guy. I mean, DeBrusque takes a couple shots in game 1, some self-inflicted. You want to go back to the self-inflicted thing, him crashing into the boards because he gave it away for a breakaway goal or penalty shot anyway. But, you know, Kadri got him. He chirps Kadri on the bench in game 1. They says, you know, what are you going to do about it? So DeBrusque draws back into the lineup in game 2 and then goes at him all night long. Ooh, that's pretty good for a second-year player going after a 10-year NHL veteran.
He's a bull.
Ooh.
He's a bull.
I think we're onto something there. With Jake DeBrusk, that tells me a lot. And then he takes that cross-check to the neck. And again, I know this drives you crazy, but I don't think it was the most violent cross-check. I think it was a garden variety cross-check to the neck. I don't think it was as violent as it first looked. So I felt DeBrusk was okay in the moment because he got up and wanted to fight. That's how I know. He got up and wanted to fight. But either way, DeBrusk could easily sit out tonight after that shot. He's not. He's back in the lineup. Going to stand in the middle of that Toronto crowd. And something tells me he's going to bring the ass to the game like he brought the ass to the game the other night.
I mean, that's the thing about him is the relentlessness, right? He just keeps coming. So, look, and I didn't love everything in the game, right? You know, and don't get me wrong. You know, that knee on knee.
Tell me about that.
Don't you think that's a little borderline? Like, you know, I'm not saying he wasn't going in with the shoulder. You're telling me he didn't stick the leg out at all?
I don't think he stuck the leg out at all.
I'm telling you, it went out a little bit.
I think he got him knee on knee. I don't think the leg came out. It felt like knee on knee. It could have been knee on knee. And I mean, it was knee on knee, but what I mean is...
Yeah, it wasn't blatant.
I don't think it was intentional.
I'm telling you, he stuck his knee out just a little.
Look right there, a picture they're showing right there, man.
Yeah, he stuck his knee out just a little. Just a little. There was that first replay that showed you could see him move it just a hint. And so again, I'm not telling you it's the worst thing I've ever seen. I'm just telling you that I don't think he's completely innocent. That's all. And he's running around. I mean, he's lining people up every chance he gets. Sooner or later, someone was going to drill him. And I'm not justifying what Kadri did. But the way he's been running around out there, someone was going to nail him sooner or later.
Yes.
And Krug probably really paid the penalty for it, ultimately. Although that was
a great shot.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable check. That might have been a reflection really on Pastrnak earlier, right? Hit Muzzin. And then he lined Krug up, and he absolutely knocked him in the next week.
How good was that? Pastrnak was running people. I called him killer before. The slapshot character was the sweet, innocent guy that by the end of it, he was killer.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think that's what. But Pastrnak is freaking running people out there. I'm like, this is fabulous.
I mean, that one in the corner, I don't think should have been a penalty. And he left his feet. He did. Not by much, but he did. I still wouldn't have called it. They were letting everything go.
So Muzzin hangs in there. He's one of the few that can respond physically. Kadri was another one. But if you take Kadri out, I mean, the number of guys who can stand up physically on that Toronto side is not, you know, Austin Matthews ain't doing it. And a lot of those other guys ain't doing it. Tavares didn't exactly stand up to the pressure on Saturday.
No, there was that one behind the net, and he ended up getting into it with McAvoy a little bit, where he started whining that he got hit in the face.
Well, you know what? The whining? You know who called out the Leafs for whining? You hear Don Cherry in between periods. This was a Hockey Night in Canada game up in Canada. So, Cherry, this was between the second or the third. All these were adding up. The previous caller said it, too. Instead of responding and sort of going back and forth, the Leafs were too busy turning and whining to the refs. This is what Cherry pointed out.
They have to stop, as you said, you're a referee, you know this, they have to stop whining to the, what's a whine? Like, oh, boy, what about a penalty? Now, you got knocked down. What about a penalty? Oh, come on, look at that, they're hitting me. Oh, look, come on, how about a penalty? Oh, come on, oh, look at me. Like, you do that to the referees, they get ticked off because you make the referee look bad. The Leafs have got to stop that whining for a penalty.
Good job. Good job, Graves. And, you know, he was showing all pictures and video of the Leafs getting hit and then turning to the refs with that look on their face.
And they were doing a lot of it. But that's like, look, this is, part of me looks at Toronto and says, can you toughen up? Like, what is wrong with you? Would you think they were going to let you skate by the whole series? Wuss bags. And they can still win the series, by the way, because, you know, Cassidy almost called it, too, right? Said the first game's going to be the fastest. You know why he said that? Because he knew that they'd start hitting them and all of a sudden the Leafs would start peeling off. And they won't skate. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in Game 3 tonight. I was worried about this one because of Krug and DeBrusk. I'm still eager to see how it goes because those guys took some good shots. But, man, Toronto's not going to be as fast as they were in Game 1, I'll tell you that.
How about Backes?
Oh, my gosh, I love it. For someone who is, you know, done, and he's close, he was a factor in that game right out of the gate.
No question.
I mean, he was lining people up. And
The first goal was beating someone up behind the net, getting the puck, and he got it to Coyle.
Absolutely. I mean, he flipped it out there, and even before that, on his first shift, he lined someone up on the boards on the right wing side and absolutely creamed him. And it just, to me, he established a tone. He was competitive. I think he was the number two star in the game, if I remember right. And like he was, you know, if he can give him that, he's got to play. You got to play him every game if he can give you that.
There's no question about it. How'd you feel about your boy? You got chubby for Charlie after that game?
So I thought McAvoy was better. I still don't think he's all the way, but it was better. And he was really good in his own zone. They were collectively. Tuca wasn't really tested all that much, if at all, in the game. I mean, they did a much better job in front of the net.
Third period, I think, late second into the third, as Toronto sort of steadied the game, Rask was called on and he was there. So, but I think much like game one, he wasn't the story. Which, again, is sort of like that's the sidebar on Rask. When the team was good, he was good. And when the team was bad, he was sort of okay, just there. And the thing on Rask is there's going to be a night when the team isn't there and the goalie has to sort of get you there just on his own. And that's when the rubber's going to, you know, they're going to need some games like that for Rask. I don't know if they'll need it this series, because when they dial up and play like that against Toronto, they should be able to control the play, especially with Kadri being out. That's a loss for that team.
Oh, it's huge. Again, not to mention now think of the mismatch that ultimately it creates on a line-by-line basis. They only have two centers, Mark. They really don't have another. I mean, you know, now they're making do. And I don't know, maybe you could say the Bruins are in a similar way with Coyle, but, you know, Coyle to me can play center. I look at the Leafs and I say, Nylander at center? Well, that's going to be a problem for them.
Murray, what worries you tonight as a Bruins fan?
Whether or not they can keep up that level of intensity that they saw on Saturday. I just don't see that as sustainable. That was incredible on Saturday, the way that they played, but I don't know, like, I can't see them being able to play at that level, maybe another game or two, but sustainable? I can't see that.
No one can. You can't do that. That's the problem with the NHL playoffs being too long. You know, they say the regular season you can't play like that. You can't play like that for 28 games in the playoffs. Not even close. Not even close. But it gets them back into the series. You mentioned this in your email chain. Are the refs going to overcompensate tonight?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because the refs got some blowback from letting that game get out of hand on Saturday. And so now do they overcompensate and we have a bunch of power plays?
So I worry about that. Toronto's had, what, I think four? So far in the series, four power plays. And, you know, they had three in this past game, I think. The Bruins have had six. They've scored on two of them. Like, you know, relative to what's going on in some other series, I think the San Jose Sharks have had something like 13 power play attempts already. Like, relative to what's going on in some other series, that's a concern going up. There's no two ways about it.
Okay, it's a reentry Monday. All this Bruins stuff, our Tiger Woods stuff, Celtics over the weekend, Red Sox over the weekend. They lose this afternoon split against a wretched Baltimore team. So your thoughts on all of it right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Pastrnak getting it back to the blue line. The penalty is over. Down into the corner it goes. Back it comes to the blue line. Krejci has it stripped away. And then a knee-on-knee with Kadri is not called. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Jake DeBrusk, knee on knee. If this isn't suspendable, I'd be shocked. Yeah, Kadri is down. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow. Brad Meyer and Trevor Hansen have been absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Henry is up and getting off on his own.
Just overall thoughts on DeBrusk and Kadri altercation.
Which one? Seemed to have a few of them. First one, scrum on the wall, two guys going at it. I thought second period, I believe it was, Jake hit Kadri over the middle. I thought it was clean. Looking back on it, shoulder to shoulder, I'm not sure. Obviously, Kadri stayed down. I mean, that's his prerogative when you get hit. Then the last one, I don't know if it was an altercation. I think he came over and cross-checked him in the face, and I assume it'll be dealt with or looked at and go from there.
So that's what it sounded like up in Toronto. That was Toronto radio, obviously, on the DeBrusk-Kadri collision over the middle. And that's what you're going into tonight. That's how the fans feel up there. That's how the media feels up there. So they're going to be on the refs. Watch that. Watch that tonight. Let's see how that transpires. Cassidy, I love, though, sort of tacitly calls out Kadri for flopping. Stay down on the ice. That's his prerogative. I mean, that's what that is. That's sort of sort of sneaky way to say he wasn't hurt, but he stayed down. So there you go. Your reaction to everything, as promised, right back to your phone. Scott in Weymouth. Go ahead, Scott.
Good afternoon, guys. What a sports weekend, including today with the marathon and the Sox. But let's go to hockey. Two takes, Felger. First of all, Charlie Coyle, maybe I'm a little biased. He's a hometown kid, a Weymouth kid. I think he's been one of the best Bruins on the ice and finally broke through instead of hitting post for the past 3 months. Now, this suspension, what's this idiot's name, Toronto? I can't even say his name. What's his name?
Nazem Kadri.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want him suspended. Zero games. You want to know why? I want to see justice done on the ice. Where's Sean Thornton when you need him?
Okay.
Well, I'd like to see Terry O'Reilly get a hold of this kid.
Scott, I'm just going to cut you off. Next regular season. That's what the regular season's for. And this is why they created this playoff format. So you have to play off in your division. You develop hatred in the next year. You have the rivalry. And you take care of business. The problem is the league doesn't let you take care of business anymore. So those who don't like this playoff format, this is the strongest case against it. In that, if this were the old days, yep, DeBrusk. And you know what? I bet it should happen anyway. First time the Bruins and the Leafs play next year in the regular season, those two should go. Settle it on the ice. Those two should go. Absolutely should go. We'll see but it doesn't always work out that way anymore. And the league doesn't really want you doing it like that anymore. So what's the point of this in-division format and the rivalry format when they won't let you take it out on the ice?
No, it's a fair point. And again, if I'm the Bruins or if I'm Cassidy, you tell the team, we're not doing anything stupid in this series. You're back in it now. It's 1-1. Home ice doesn't mean a ton in hockey, although it has with these two teams over the last couple of years. Don't, you're going to be under the microscope anyway in this game. DeBrusk especially. You don't do anything stupid.
It's about winning the series.
Especially now because the door is creaking open.
On Coyle, if he's going again, so now he doesn't have to deal with Kadri. If it's third line on third line, he should have an advantage. Coyle's game is great, everything but the puck going in the net. It just doesn't go in the net. If it starts going in the net, then you might be onto something there. Cam and Taunton on Tiger Woods. Hi, Cam.
How's it going, guys? You know, my favorite part of yesterday was this. You know, just like Jack in 86, those guys looked up at the leaderboard, saw the name. Greg, I mean, you talk about what Norman did, Felger. Remember what Seve did on 15?
Yes, yes, yes.
Chunked it right into the water from like 150 yards. Those guys looked up there, saw the name Woods on the leaderboard, and they couldn't handle it. Four of the last six golfers to play the 12th, Poulter, Koepka, Molinari, Finau, all in the drink. And Molinari, as soon as that ball left his club, you could tell it was short. Like, that's not going to make it.
He was short.
Their pants.
He was short by like 60 yards, it felt like.
Yep.
How short was he? That hit in the middle of the pond, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that was on 15. Oh, you're talking about on 15. Yeah. On 15. They showed a replay. Apparently the ball hit a pine cone hanging from a tree.
Oh, okay.
So, but even,
it was like really short, felt like.
But even so, he still chunked the crap out of it. Look at the size of the divot. It was huge, for crying out loud. And on 12, idiots, the two of them, they hit it in the water. They were, you know, and guys are rolling putts under the hole. They're not getting it. They were terrified. They saw him coming. Once he got there, they all went, uh-oh.
So this is what I do hold against Woods, is that he hasn't had enough of these in his career where he fought back on the last day. I think
it's amazing you could win 15 majors and never come from behind until yesterday.
He never came from behind once. I did just look this up. You know how many times Jack did it? Eight times. Jack did it eight times where he was trailing on Sunday, going into Sunday, and he won. Eight. And then there were two more. He was tied with the lead. So 10 of his 17, he was not, 10 of his 18, he was not the clearly, he was either tied or behind going into Sunday. And so too much of Woods' wins to me are he comes, he shows up, dominates the field, they get to Sunday, and it's a formality, and it's a walkover on either side. If Woods is down the leaderboard, he doesn't fight his way back up. That's it, I'll get him next week. And if he's leading, he just rolls because everyone else quits and says, well, it's Tiger's tournament. And there's no duels there. There's no back and forth. Again, my favorite Jack stat is he finished second 19 times. 19 freaking times, which means he competed his ass off more often than not. And sometimes he got beat. Watson chips in. Someone rolls in a putt. Someone beats him. That happens. But Jack, every Sunday at a major, was fighting to the end. He finished second 19 times. How many times Tiger's finished second? Six. Because if he's not winning, it's like, I'll see, you know, I'm going down the street. You know what I mean?
Okay, you realize if he gets to 19, it won't matter.
If he gets to 19, it doesn't matter. If Tiger gets to 19, I'll tip my cap and say he's the greatest ever, but he's got to get to 19. If it's tied at 18 and Tiger has 6 second place finishes and Jack has 19, sorry, and let's see it win at 46 like Jack did, not 43.
See, I just like the fact that this is back on now. And again, honestly, I don't think Tiger's going to catch him. I don't think he's got 3 more in him. I don't. That's a lot. That's a lot to ask. And
I think he's got a British or a Masters. I think he's got another one of those.
Okay, but again, the other one, see, this is the thing. It's the course knowledge at Augusta is huge.
Of course.
It's huge. Again, it was on that 12th hole where the whole thing swung yesterday, the 86th time.
Well, you know where the Open is this year.
Is it Pebble?
It's Pebble. He's probably played that a crap ton.
So that's true. But I'm telling you, it's still Augusta every year. 86 times he's played that in competition. 80 freaking six.
Billy in Rhode Island on Tiger. Go.
How you doing, Phil? It's good. I'm not a psychiatrist, so I'm far from it. But this is the way I feel about Tiger. On Saturday, right after he finished his round, he was interviewed by one of the guys. And he asked him, well, how are you feeling? You got to get up early tomorrow and so forth. He said to the guy, well, how would you feel after you had 4 back surgeries? And that's what he said to the interviewer.
So he's more than happy to bring that up.
Yes, and those kind of comments say to me that this guy wants sympathy because of all the shit he...
Yeah, you can't say that, Bill.
All the stuff he did.
Yep.
Okay? He can't. It's still in his head because we all write our own resume as we go through life. Some of it's good, some's bad. But he has a big ton of it. And when he was God at one point playing golf. And don't forget, he's got to deal with that.
Yep, the comeback story is a Mike Tyson comeback story. It's self-inflicted. It's a fall from grace and it's a comeback.
That's a good way to put it.
I even think part of the back thing is self-inflicted because I think he was a PED guy. His doctor gets busted for PEDs. They institute drug testing and all of a sudden my knee, my back, and he bails on the tour. And so I just think that's part of his story there somewhere along the line, that the breakdowns were perhaps self-inflicted as well. And so I just think that part of the story is overplayed. I think it's amazing, and he deserves credit for winning 11 years after his last major. Like, that's a big gap, and that's a good comeback. But let's not, the profile's encouraged. I just think goes a little bit too far when the vast majority of his problems he brought on himself with his own selfishness and narcissism and addictions and lack of control.
I mean, the response to the win to me was over the top. But was I rooting for him? Hell yeah, I was. I admit it. I'm sorry, Murray. I was rooting for the guy.
Oh, you don't have to apologize. I hate what I hate.
No. It's not even about what I like, because I think the guy's a dirtbag. I mean, I don't know how you could possibly know the story of him and not believe that he's a dirtbag. He is. Like, no two ways about it. But it's way more fun to watch when he's in it. It is. And now all of the majors, like, that whole thing comes back. It comes back. Can he get another? Can he get to Jack? Can he get to 18? It's all back. For how many years there, we didn't have it, and it was Brooks freaking Koepka or someone like that winning. And I, like, great, you'll get your few majors, and you'll get 5 or whatever, but you'll be just on a list with a bunch of other guys who I really don't know anything about. But Tiger to me makes it way more entertaining, way more.
How come you root against him, Murray?
Because I've never once seen an ounce of humility from this guy since his downfall, and I find him to be a disingenuous fraud. And I don't like him. It comes down to that. I don't like him. In the early aughts, late 90s, when he was completely dominant, he was great to watch, simply for the reason that he was making old stuffy whites like miserable about it. Like, this is our game, harump for rump. That was awesome. But since 09, ugh, no. And I've got so much, it was so much entertainment value for me personally to tune in at the last moment, because I don't really, like, golf's not my real, it's not my thing, right? And so that's one of the reasons I'm also, like, a little, like, ugh, about this. Like, oh, no, golf's back. Yay. It should stay in the basement where it belongs. But I've enjoyed rooting against this guy for the last decade because of how many of you are rooting for him. And now that's gone. So boo to that. And I know, another L I have to eat today. Ugh.
He did, you know, Tiger did crack a little, just a little, at the end. That shot on 18.
So, you know, yes, Maz, yes. And I thought his leave was a little too much chicken on that bone, too. I know it was
dicey.
Only a two-footer, but that got a little slippery on him, too.
I mean, you know, if Koepka makes that putt, and it's one going into 18, he shanked his approach, basically. That's pretty much what happened. I mean, it wasn't a classic shank, but short and right like that, he was feeling it a little too.
Bruins, Tiger, we will get to the Sox. Celtics thoughts off that win yesterday. You got any green teamers? We'll get to you. And again, the latest on Kadri, as soon as it breaks, you'll hear it here first. Here's an update from Murray.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All year long, everybody was waiting for the Celtics to flip the switch, to turn on the switch. Instead, they just turned out the lights in game one on the Indiana Pacers. And the clock will hit triple zeros, and it is done. Nothing pretty except the outcome. The Celtics strike first in the best of seven. They beat the Pacers in game one, 84-74.
You've talked about how you just couldn't wait to get to the playoffs. How happy are you to be here, and what are you going to take into game two?
Same excitement, same patience, but it's been a year for me. Two knee surgeries, around this time, I had antibiotics I had to take every single day, and, you know, it was a long, long journey to get back to just this point to be able to play, and I'm just truly grateful, and this for all the people watching and all the people that impact my life. You know, I'm leading everybody, so, yeah.
What was that last part? I'm leading everybody? All right, did the Celtics flip a switch? Did Kyrie flip a switch?
No.
Come on.
No, please. Indiana blows. They don't have any real offensive talent, not real talent. This thing should be over in five max. Now, look, that said, you know, I thought Kyrie was, for the most part, pretty good. He got his hands in some balls. He tried to play some defense like he was engaged.
He was engaged, for sure.
He was engaged in the game. And so I give him credit for that. Like, you know, to me, that's part of leadership, is dig in all, every minute you're out there, you dig in and let everyone else line up behind. So that's fine. This team they're playing against, me, you, Murray, and two stiffs from down the street could give them a series. Seriously, Indiana sucks.
You can't take anything from the series. You can't. So, no, flip the switch. No, you can't tell that until round two. You're not going to be able to.
So, no movement over there, Murray?
No, none at all. No, and they came back, and it was a great defensive effort. I'll give them credit there. But this Pacers team is god-awful. And in that first half, Ball movement was bad. A lot of sloppy turnovers. They looked like they didn't come out to play in about the first 10 minutes. So, no. No movement at all.
No movement.
None.
How about what's going on across the East? Philly loses at home. Toronto loses at home. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. What I've got out of this is that the Celtics are lucky they're not playing a better middling team like Brooklyn or Orlando that would actually give them a series.
See, I think it says more about the other two teams. That's
of course,
what I,
me too.
Like, I look at Toronto and say, oh,
you've got to be kidding
gosh.
Me, Toronto. You've got to be kidding me.
Toronto last year was the top seed in the conference, and they got swept, losing games one and two at home to Cleveland in the I don't remember which round, first round or second round, right? So it was, what a disaster. I mean, really. And now they've changed bodies. DeRozan's out. Kawhi Leonard's in. The whole thing will take a shot. We'll change the DNA, and they still crap their pants in the playoffs.
You've got to be kidding me.
That one is unbelievable. The Sixers, I'm not surprised because they are, I mean, you've watched them, and they offend
sensibility. Oh, a disgusting team.
Really, they are.
Embiid's a dog.
They have no idea how to play.
What a bum he is.
No idea how to play real tough close games. No clue. Clueless. Completely clueless. Do you think they know it? I'm curious about that. I just feel like...
Well, the quit in them is real.
But it's like they have no clue how to play big, important, tough games. No clue. From a strategy standpoint, a coaching standpoint, a toughness standpoint, an effort standpoint.
It feels like Butler does. Butler had a good game, right? He played hard and he looked like he was...
But they're so flawed.
Yeah, they are.
Ben Simmons can't be on the floor at the end of these games because he can't shoot free throws.
He was 1-for-5 from the line.
So he's petrified to have the ball. He's petrified to go to the rim, which is the only thing he can do. But if you go to the rim, you just follow him. He can't shoot. Why do you have him on the floor? Does the coach get it? Do the people there get it?
I know it doesn't feel like it.
I'm curious about that. I feel like flipping on WIP every once in a while and just like, or I'm sorry, what's the Beasley?
WIP. All right, yeah, I don't know.
What's the Beasley station there? That's I'm sorry, I should have said our station. Right. I can't remember what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, Jimmy, drop that.
but, you know, like, do they, because I mean, it's basketball is my fourth sport. I watch them like three times a year, but every time I watch them, I'm like, these guys have no clue.
Yeah, no. They're and again, if I don't know how much of this you saw. Again, I saw pieces of it. Embiid was insulting in this game. I mean, he looks like
dog.
So he missed a little time at the end of the year. He looks like he put on 15 pounds. He looks gigantic. He's lazy. He's slow. Like when if he's not interested, it's a waste of time.
You want to flip on the fanatic down there? The fanatic. What's the call letters number?
It's a WPEN. It's 97.5 FM.
Okay, FWIP. They suck.
You Jimmy, edit that out and drop it in over what we said earlier.
You want to listen to the fanatic of the Beasley Media Group. Either way, do they have a clue? Do they get it? Anyway, so like I mean, I still think the Celtics are poised there. Now, Milwaukee did not fall into that trap. They curb stomped Detroit. Yeah. Detroit didn't have Griffin. So, you know, it's as much as they sucked to even get into the playoffs, they didn't have their best player. So the Bucks should curb stomp them. But I still think they're an imperfect team, not a playoff proven team. I mean, I just think the door's ajar for you. Did you play that great yesterday? I don't think so.
No.
Just please sweep. Oh, God. That game yesterday, really, it's... This thing's a track to pull to watch.
Okay, back to your thoughts. 617, couple open lines. Reentry Monday, everything on the board. 617-779-0985. Hank and Worcester on the seas. Go ahead, Hank.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good.
The lack of self-awareness in Philly is just staggering. They have no clue. They're amazing. They're awful to watch.
I have a sense they have no clue.
Yeah, none. None whatsoever. Before I get to this, before I get angry about the Celts, Mike, that Bruins game. Oh my God.
It was
hockey porn doesn't do it justice, really. I mean, that was the best 60 minutes I've seen in quite a while. And I'm surprised you guys haven't talked about Freddie. I mean, that game should have been 8-1. He was unbelievable in that.
So and let me just stop because Maz did mention this in the break. Fred Anderson should scare you. He's been great.
So that's one of the things that you should be worried about because he has. He's been. Yeah, I did the math. At one point, he had stopped like 65 of 68 or something like that. It's like a 950 save percentage.
He's got to stay away from his glove side. Got to stay away from the glove. He's unbelievable with that trapper. Anyways, getting to the Celts, Mike. This is for Luke and for Maz. You know, I'm really happy that you guys feel that Kyrie's engaged. You know, that's your leader. He's engaged. Please. He couldn't lead a pack of collies. Please.
Right. Well, let's see. I will say this. You know, again, it's you're just at the mercy of the guy's moods. At least you're in the playoffs now, and I feel like he's happy to be there. just being at that podium in the postgame with the playoff banner behind him and the ABC or TNT walk-off after the game, like, this is my stage now. Finally, I'm on a stage befitting my talent and my stature versus this, you know, these local walk-off interviews with games against Orlando. That's beneath me. That's beneath me. Now we're on TNT and ABC and it's the playoffs and the playoff banner is behind me on the podium. And so now I'm not going to act like a complete douche. I'm just going to be like a normal human being here because this is now finally we're in a place befitting my talent. Like that's sort of how I sense it with Kyrie.
Okay, so look, if you're a Celtics fan and you want him,
I mean, which is fine, right? So at least he's there.
Yeah, if you want them to make a run now, this is what you want. You want him focused on the basketball. So like there are times where you watch him though and you're like, oh man, this guy's on a different level. Like, and I know it was, I think it was Bogdanovich who was guarding him, you know, quote unquote guarding him. But he just, that he's got to be playing against him thinking like, dude, I might as well be playing against a 6-year-old because I am going to use you like you have never been used. Like, it's just, so I'm just, you know, I'm happy to see him approach it with some level of intensity, but the caller's right. He's not a leader. You know, and the being engaged in a playoff game should be a bare minimum, but given, you know, how petulant he's been all year long, I'll take it.
We continue with your thoughts. We set our master's take as well right after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for. Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
There's a CBS call. Resetting, my master's thoughts anyway. Maz will give you his too. It was a good comeback. Like, my issue is not necessarily with Tiger today because it's a good story. It was compelling. I was sure glued to it. It was a legit comeback. His first, which I do hold against him, but, you know, like I said earlier, I found this win more impressive and more compelling than any of the previous 14. Means nothing to me that he shows up and curb stomps everyone by 15 strokes and is never pushed. Like, so you were just the best that weekend. I'm less interested in that than I am in yesterday, where he's three down on 10 or 11 there, and he's got to dig deep. Like, that impresses me far more. So I give him credit for that. My issue isn't really with Tiger today. It's the reaction. It's over the top. And if, you know, Nance, I thought, said one of the great moments in Masters history, or the great moment, the greatest moment in Masters history, when Woods was making his way to, is it Butler Cabin where you go sign your card?
Yeah, I think that's right.
You know, after the hugs with the family and he goes through that phalanx of patrons, which that can also go F itself. You know, he goes through the fans and he's, you know, getting all the Tiger chants and all that. I think at one point there, Nance said the greatest moment in Masters history. This is what bugs me. You know, this over-the-top reaction to the quote-unquote comeback, like it's somehow, you know, again, the Profiles in Courage Act, I'm getting a little, I was sick of immediately, when I think the vast majority of what he came back from was self-inflicted. The result of his selfishness, his narcissism, his own lack of self-control, that's what he came back from. Again, you know, it's a little much. What he's the one that chose to cheat on his wife. He's the one that chose to do all the things that entered into those scandals. He's the one that got addicted to pills. It's not that anyone forced that on him. He's the one that chose that drug dealing doctor, which again to me is somewhere in this story with his health as well. I think, I don't know. Look when his doctor got popped, when the injuries cropped up and all this. So all these things are self-inflicted. So can we stop with the guy just came back from the front or something?
Right, like he lost a limb.
No. I mean, right, exactly, like a victim of some terrorist attack? No. He's the one that went and cavorted with the Perkins waitress when he's married to Ellen. That's him.
Got behind the wheel with this in his system. Vicodin, Dilaudid, Xanax, Ambien, and weed just a couple of years ago. But, oh, no, he needed all that for his back.
Murray, he couldn't walk a straight line. And Jack Nicklaus himself, when he was interviewed about Tiger, says, I think he's giving us a cry for help.
So, I mean, look, to overcome that and come back from that is a comeback. Like, I'm going to give that to you. I'm not saying
yes,
that
by
that's...
by definition, yes.
A comeback. Yeah, well, but I mean, so to conquer personal demons and those things. So, but that's really not how it's being portrayed, you know? That's not really...
Jim Nantz there. Oh, my God. Keep it in your pants, buddy.
It feels like it's something else that he's been given credit for, which bugs me. But it doesn't bug me nearly as much as the greatest moment in Masters history. Tisk, tisk. Mm-mm. Nope. It's not Jack. And he's not Jack. Tiger Woods entered yesterday in second place, two strokes down in the final group. Again. It's the first time he's ever come back at all. But let's not treat this like the Red Sox down 3-0 in 2004 or something like this. He was in the last group of the day, down two strokes. When Jack won in 86, he was tied for ninth. Jack was tied for ninth. There were eight guys ahead of him on the leaderboard as well, and he was tied for ninth with six guys. It was a six-way tie for ninth, and then there were eight ahead of him. So he was either behind or tied with 14 guys when Jack started that day in 1986. He shot a effing 30. That's minus six. He shot minus six on the back nine.
Which you can do there. I mean, that's the beauty of that back nine, but keep going.
So what did Tiger shoot? Was it 32 yesterday on the back or 33?
It sounds right. I mean, you know, he birdied 13, 15, and 16. I don't remember about the others. So it was at least 33. But he bogeyed 18, so it was 34.
Okay, so Jack shot at freaking 30. Two eagles on the back. He almost holed out 16 as well. He did the same thing Tiger did. Played it right up on that hill, rolled right down, and almost went in. Jack did the exact same thing on 16, but he shot a 30 on the back nine. He started the day tied for ninth with six guys, with eight guys ahead of him, 14 guys he had to beat. Tiger had to beat one. Would you please with this? Jack was also 3 years older than Tiger is. So let's see if Tiger can keep his crap together long enough to win at 46 like Jack did. He's not Jack. You want to tell me he's second? That's fine. I mean, this is what is great about golf is that you really can just count the rings. This isn't like football or team sports where it gets a little complicated. Trent Dilfer has a ring. Does that mean? I get it, right? So you can't just count rings in team sports.
Just to clarify yesterday, by the way, he was 35, 35, 70. He shot 35 on the back.
Oh, my God. What a great all-time comeback. He shot one under on the back? And you're taking your pants off to this, Nance, and everybody else? Jack shot a 30, 6 under. 30.
I think he eagled 15 to Nicklaus way back when.
I think he had two eagles on the back.
I mean, there must have been 13 to 15 then when he rolled them in, and the place went absolutely freaking bananas. And
again, people carrying on yesterday, like the Augusta never sounded like that. That's not true. It sounded like that for Jack Nicklaus. It sounded like that for Arnold Palmer way back in the day. It sounded like that. It just doesn't sound that way for Brooks Koepka. So you're all deluded into thinking that this is something never seen before. Not even close. Tiger shot a 35 on the back and he won. So it's a nice comeback. I'll give him credit for it. Will you please with the Jack Nicklaus comparison? It's not even close. Tiger also had been trending in the last year or so. He finished second at the PGA last year?
Yeah,
or
particularly at the end of last year, he started playing really well again.
So he's had a couple top 10 finishes in majors. He's 10th on the money list. It's just, he was knocking at the door. Jack, when he won in 86, had either been had either missed the cut or withdrawn from four of his previous seven tournaments. Jack was 160 on the money list when he won in 1986. He came out of nowhere. That's a comeback. That's a back nine. Tiger Woods is distant second or third or fourth or whatever to that. But because of Nike, ESPN, and the industrial hype complex of, you know, this millennium, it's now, you know, being pumped into, you know, profiles encourage a comeback like we've never seen and one for the ages. Please, it's not.
So you're more interested in the Nicklaus part of it than I am. I'm not. To me, the reaction to it was way over the top. Like, let's stop short of heroic, okay? This guy did himself in.
He shot 35 on the back.
This is like, would we celebrate John Daly in the same way? Like,
right, exactly.
You know, someone who did himself in. Like, you know, let's not go too crazy over it. That said, oh my God, I loved it. I was rooting for him. I was pulling for him hard. It's so much more entertaining when he's in it. And when he makes a run, everyone's riveted. So, like, and now the whole historical pursuit of Nicklaus, like the 18 majors and Tiger's at 15, now it's back in play. Now, you know, here you go. You know, U.S. Open, British, PGA, they all count again now. Like, it's not about Rory McIlroy and his career Grand Slam or Spieth or some other story that at the end of the day I really don't give a rat's ass about.
No one does.
But this one, this story I care about. Tiger's chasing Jack again. Like, that I like.
Now I can fully engage and root against him. I can fully sink my teeth into it and really root against him. Well, I mean, let's see if he can keep it together long enough to go another 3 years like Jack did. Let's see. So there's your Masters reset. Here's Murray's 90-second update. No commercials, and we're back with your reaction on everything.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.